I'm going to make a disclaimer at the beginning. I'm going to talk about sheep today, and I know very little about sheep. I've seen sheep. We've been to the United Kingdom and been to Wales and Scotland and Ireland. You can't go far without seeing a lot of sheep. But I don't know much about them. But what I do know is that in Jesus' day, you knew about sheep. Sheep were a commodity. They were the mutual funds of the day. And Miss Lee is at the back for anyone who would like to go to children's church. She'll be happy to take you. Thank goodness for those signs. But in Jesus' day, sheep were a common thing. Whenever I am able to help a family when they have lost someone to do their memorial service, inevitably, when I say, "What scripture would you like?" the 23rd Psalm is mentioned. It brings comfort to us. It's David talking about his shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd. Jesus used sheep to teach. He used shepherds to teach. And in John 10, beginning at verse 1, we find Jesus bringing the Pharisees to task and uses sheep and shepherds to do so. Would you join me as we pray before we turn to God's word this morning? Gracious and loving God, we are grateful for your word. Our prayer is that scripture might take deep root in us. To that end, may your Holy Spirit give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that are fertile ground. And may the loudest voice in this room in the next few moments be the voice of your Holy Spirit speaking to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John records Jesus' encounter with the Pharisees this way in the first verse of John 10. "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks and the flock scatters. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father who knows me and I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the 23rd Psalm, David talks about the care of the shepherd in all aspects of life. Jesus, in teaching us about sheep and how sheep and his people are very similar, talks about the importance of knowing the voice of the shepherd. Knowing the voice of the shepherd. Sheep. It's going well, isn't it? Sheep were kept in a communal pen. Multiple shepherds would bring their sheep, put them in that pen for safety at night. Someone would be hired to guard the penned sheep. When it was time for the sheep to go out to pasture, to go out to where they were made to be, the shepherd would come, the gatekeeper would open the gate, and that shepherd would call his sheep. And his sheep recognized their shepherd's voice, and they would come to the gate, and the shepherd would collect his, count them to make sure he had them all, and then lead them to the pasture. Wonderful picture, isn't it? I think sheep often get a bad rap. We often hear that they're not the brightest of animals. Maybe that's why Jesus compared us so often to sheep. They're easily spooked. And they need a shepherd. But they're not that much different than any living thing when we think about it. I'm glad Maggie's with us this morning. She's really into the sermon, as you can tell. She can be that relaxed in this room with an organ and some guy she really doesn't know that well standing up here talking through speakers because Frank is right there. Laura is right there. Maggie knows the comfort of someone she trusts. We know the comfort of someone we trust, don't we? This particular gathering will probably understand this illustration a little better than when I go down the block in a little while. Anybody remember Walter Cronkite? I won't get that reaction down the block. Walter Cronkite anchored the CBS Evening News for 19 years. He was named multiple years the most trusted person in America. That's not going to happen with our media today. The world's changed a lot. And in fact, rather than being a trusted voice, because of our divisions, we usually associate those media voices with distrust now. But it was a far different time, and Americans trusted Walter Cronkite. He told the world that a president had been assassinated. He talked a nation through a triumph of a person setting foot on the moon. A nation trusted a voice. If we are to hear God speak and to be truly the sheep of the Good Shepherd, we must recognize the voice of the shepherd. And it takes time, and it takes dedication. And it takes repetitive moments of putting ourselves in the presence of the shepherd for us to learn his voice. if we're to recognize God's voice, we have to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to give us the discipline to be in God's presence and to learn His voice. Sheep do that because sheep are dependent upon a shepherd for their very life, for protection, for sustenance, for their health. And I would submit to you, we have that same dependence on the God of all creation, and we must put ourselves in position by spending time alone in the quiet so that we might hear His still small voice and recognize it. Now, I don't know much about sheep. I don't know too much more about cattle. The Mahaffeys probably should be up here giving this message because they, along with the Hinmans, live on a farm, and along with their children, they win awards for the livestock that they raise. I had a covenant partner come in my office this week, and he said, I saw that you're preaching on John 10. He said, let me tell you a story. So my brother always wanted to be a cowboy. That was his dream. And he was able to buy a ranch in Texas. And he gets to be de facto cowboy. And he said, we had a family gathering on the ranch, and we're sitting around one night talking, and some of the ranch hands, the real cowboys, were there. And as we were getting ready to go to bed, this one cowboy comes up to me and he said, I want you to meet me in a field, told me the field, at 8 a.m. Be there. He said he was a little apprehensive. He didn't know what this cowboy was exactly talking about. But he showed up at 8 o'clock. There was the cowboy. And there were a number of cattle that were laying down. He thought, what is going on now? And the cowboy said, I want you to get those cows to stand up, to call them. And he's like, I have no idea how to do that. And he said, do whatever you got to do. So he said he began to think about how can I cajole these cattle, and he starts thinking about his dog, you know, how do I get the dog to come to me, and it's not working. He said he's doing all sorts of gyrations and begging and, you know, talking nicely and all that, and the cows just sit there. And he said, I can't do it. And he said, the cowboy said, well, watch this. And the cowboy called the first cattle by name, and the cattle lumbers up and walks to him. And he did that for each of those cows. Called them specifically by their name, and they got up and they came to him. And he turned around, and he began to walk to a barn, and the cows followed him. So they got to the barn, and the cowboy said, the next time you teach on John 10, you remember that. Those cows didn't listen to your voice. Those cows don't trust you. Those cows don't even like you. Now, I want to stop right there because I don't know a lot about cows. I certainly know less about bovine psychology. But I think that might have been a bit extreme. You know, how does he know the cows didn't like this person? But not to get sidetracked. But the cows knew that their cowboy knew their name. They knew his voice, and they trusted him. They had no idea who this person was, other than just some nut who's doing all sorts of gyrations in their field. And they paid no attention to him. But when their cowboy spoke their name, They went to the laborious task of standing up and coming and following because they knew their cowboy. And they knew that that cowboy would care for them, would feed them, would tend to them, and that their cowboy wanted their best. I wish I obeyed God as much as those cows, as much as those sheep obey their cowboy and their shepherds. Because as much as a shepherd wants sheep to flourish, as much as a cowboy wants their cattle to thrive, God wants for me so much more. Because God wants for me and for you to know the depth of his love and his grace. He wants to lead each of us to the places where we flourish, where we thrive, where we know we are safe, where we know we're cared for. But we must learn to recognize his voice in a world of a million voices. This will play better down the street than in here. Social media has overtaken our culture. The various platforms are on nearly everyone's phone. They're the highlight reels on those social media platforms of people's lives. And we are experiencing a mental health crisis among young people because young people look at other people's highlight reels in the midst of their own low life reels, not realizing that we are all lonely. We've all been hurt. We've all been frightened. We've all failed at something. They hear the voices of "you got to be better. You should be doing more. You're really not worth it. How could you be loved?" And those are all voices which spew lies. Because the voice that we were created to hear, the voice that we were created to listen to, says, "You are of infinite worth. You are of so much worth that the God of creation would put on flesh and come and be with us and die and rise again so that we might know how valuable we are." And how, by listening to his voice, we can transform a world by Jesus' grace. We can bring kindness where there's hatred. We can bring hope where there is none. And we can proclaim to a lost and dark world that there indeed is a voice that you were created to hear. Our God speaks, but we must live into the power of the Holy Spirit of the living God and learn to recognize the voice which doesn't praise us for what we do, but praises us for being his. If we're to listen expectantly for what God is doing in our midst, what God longs for us to do in our midst, we must be people that commit ourselves to recognizing the voice of our good shepherd and our really good cowboy. May we be the people who listen for that still small voice. And may we be faithful. And may we be fed and led to safe pastures because we follow the voice of our good shepherd. Father, we are grateful that you alone are the good shepherd. We confess that we are lousy sheep. Father, give us ears to hear. Give us the discipline to cultivate times of silence and solitude where we might listen well for your voice. We thank you that you care for us. We thank you that your rod and your staff, they bring us comfort. But most of all, Father, we thank you for your love and your grace and your forgiveness, and for that still small voice which, in the silence, reminds us of our infinite worth as sons and daughters of the living God of all creation. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.